Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for today. And on this edition of Senior Focus, we have in the studio with us Richard Leckinger, who is standing for the Entrust election. And Richard is also a Grey Power member. So I thought this is a great opportunity to have one of our members on air explaining why he's standing and also explaining the issues for this election and how they dovetail in with Grey Power policy. So we'll kick off from the beginning. Richard, you have dabbled in politics before and you have an interest in seniors' issues. You've been speaking for us at the Mayor's meeting about the age-friendly city. And so we welcome you today. And perhaps you'd like to tell us why you're standing. What's the passion for you in this election?
Well, my background is in energy management, so I have a keen interest in the sector. And, of course, I've lived in Auckland for 26 years since I emigrated to New Zealand, and actually within the Auckland Electric Power Board area, which is where the trust boundaries are drawn, on that old AEPB boundary.
And is that equivalent to much of old Auckland City?
It's Auckland City, Manukau City, and a slice of Papakura and a slice of Franklin.
Wow, it's quite a big area, isn't it?
It is a big area, but yes, it basically the Isthmus and South Auckland, as most people conceive of it.
Right. Now, I understand that there has been some polling done around this, and this has influenced your thinking about how you're going to angle the campaign. From a Grey Power point of view, we know that some seniors face energy poverty, and we know that many people rely on getting the dividend cheque, and that's very important to them because it pumps about $8 million into the Auckland economy. So that's a very important issue. So we're going to take that up, but in the interim, I want to ask you about the importance of the reliability of the electricity system.
Well, one of the things we hear about the most and we see the most in the headlines is reliability. And, you know, that couldn't be more emphasized than what happened in April with the big storm. Now, you know, all those other issues aside, the key thing for most people was that Auckland lost 40% of Auckland lost its power in 15 minutes during that April storm. So that was a severe storm with big impacts. 4,000 different vector assets were damaged. And, of course, they had to scramble to pick that up. But part of the problem also was that our neighbors were hit by the same storm, you know, the power companies to the north and to the south. So it wasn't like, because normally when something like this happens, the neighbors come in and help out. You know, when the Waikato gets hit, the vector crews go down and help fix it. Well, the Waikato was hit at the same time Auckland was, and so was the north. So everybody was in a pickle. And it just shows these things are relatively rare, but with climate change, they will become more and more frequent. So we have a reliability issue that's pending or building up over time.
Well, that's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yes.
Who's in charge? Can we rely on them? And are they organized? Are they pre-prepared? And that, of course, brings up the issue of undergrounding. You know, is it better to underground, and should we have a program of undergrounding?
Well, first of all, the Entrust, which owns 75.1% of Vector, does have a contract with Vector, who they own, effectively, to spend $10 million a year on undergrounding. Now, that's a good thing because it's written into their covenant. The big issue we have at the moment is that Entrust suspended that to spend the money on other things, like the lights on the Harbour Bridge.
Wow. Now, and how are they accountable? I mean, do they have regular annual general meetings that people can go to and voice their concerns about this?
No, they don't, although they're going to have one this year. Surprise, surprise.
And when is that meeting?
Well, just before the voting closes, interestingly enough, in October. But it's a start. One of the issues that Entrust faced is a very incredible lack of transparency. Very few people know what they do, how they operate. You know, there's no public record of conflicts of interest. We don't know how much each trustee is earning because they're on the trust.
Mm-hmm.
So we've put these questions to the existing trustees, and we're not getting any answers.
it's very interesting because in a day of increased accountability, increased transparency with the internet and digital news and everything, we have overhaul of the not-for-profit sector. We have much more accountability online. You can look up organisations and see how much money they have in the bank and, you know, what their breakdown of their budget is. Now, it really occurs to me that if Grey Power was to run their affairs like Entrust, we'd be in big trouble because people would be asking questions and we would be investigated. So how come they get away with this?
They get away with it because most people don't know that Entrust holds Vector shares on their behalf. Most people in Auckland City don't realize that they're a beneficiary to the trust until the check comes. But because it goes against their power account or just goes straight into their bank account, many of them think it came from the power company.
Sure, that's what they tell us when we talk to them about joining Grey Power Electricity. Yes.
So in many respects, by not sticking their heads above the parapet and not answering any questions, the existing trustees just allow things to roll over. And people's ignorance and lackadaisical character means they just get reelected because nobody's paying attention. Well, we're paying attention and we're asking hard questions. But just one more thing on that undergrounding before we move on. Vector is the second most undergrounded network in the country. Wellington's network is like 5%. 55% of Vector's assets are underground. This is a good thing. And yes, undergrounding does increase resiliency. It's also really expensive. Mm. Now, on the current rate of undergrounding, it's going to be close to 1,000 years before the other 45% is underground. But there are barriers to it. Say you're a senior, you own your home, freehold, you're asset rich but cash poor. All your neighbors get together and say, we want to underground the power lines in the street. But each one of the households is going to have to put in $3,500. And Vector will match that as part of this fund, and they'll underground the street. Well, if you're a cash poor household, whether you're a senior or whether you're just a young family with two kids and no money, that's a lot of money. The other thing for a senior is, well, I'm moving out in the next 5 to 10 years. Why do I want to pay for a 30-year asset? You know, why? So these are legitimate questions. What we need to do is remove those barriers by allowing everyone on the street to attach the cost of that to their rates.
Sure.
Pay it over time. It's built into the house. So if a senior sells the house or the young couple moves out, doesn't matter. The new tenants who are going to enjoy that asset are paying their share.
That's a really cool idea. And also, let's forget that Transpower have huge dividend coming in, you know, over $100 million dividend a year, that some of that can be spent in the undergrounding.
Well, there is a difference between Vector, which is the local lines company, and Transpower, which is our national grid operator. And nary the two shall meet. For legislative reasons. So Transpower will either give that money back to the government in the form of a dividend, central government, or they'll reinvest it in their own asset renewal.
Yeah, but recently they have changed their story where they have said no to changing the lines direction because they've got three main lines going across Auckland above ground. They have said no in the past, and they have changed that conversation. They have opened the door to having a conversation about undergrounding.
Yes, but that's completely outside of the scope of the trust.
Yes, of course. But this conversation was a bit of a broader conversation. Let's go back to the Entrust election, because it's what we're really on about. And I know that people have got a campaign about undergrounding going locally in parts of Auckland, and there is a high interest in this. This is why I diverted slightly.
Right.
But let's go back to the main attitude of City Vision, the team that you're standing with in the election, is that they are against asset sales.
Correct.
And that is also Grey Power's policy. We are against the privatisation of assets, and we have been very closely involved in the sell-off of the electricity companies of recommending that didn't happen because, of course, we knew the prices would rise.
That's right.
Straight afterwards, which is what we saw. So with this privatisation, what I think we would be afraid of is that many people rely on that check to pay, to get through their power bills for the year and to survive. That's an integral part of their budget for the year. So if that check was going to disappear, that's $8 million that doesn't go into the Auckland economy, and it's a lot
of people
who can't
down.
Pay their power bill.
Now, the tricky bit with privatisation and Entrust is this. There are three different ways that Entrust can privatise. Now, using weasel words, the current trustees are only really promising not to do one of them. So they're leaving the door open for the other two forms of privatization. Mm-hmm. One is they can sell the shares they own in Vector. Mm-hmm. That's what they're promising not to do. Great. We agree. Don't sell any more shares. They already sold, these trustees already sold 25% of Vector. We don't want them to sell anymore. The second way they can do it is to spin off some of Vector's assets. Don't sell their shares, but spin off some of the assets, sell them to overseas investors, and then take that money. But more than likely, because that's a capital asset, it goes to the capital beneficiary, which is Auckland Council, so not us beneficiaries. Now, we may see a slice of that. We may not. The point is the dividend will go down if that happens. That's the bad part. As soon as you sell off an asset, it stops making money for you, right?
Yeah.
The third way they could do it is to actually wind up the trust. With a unanimous vote, the trustees can basically hand Vector over to Auckland Council, and that would be the end of the dividend completely. So the first way, selling Vector shares, they've promised not to do. But the other two things, and it's particularly the middle one, selling off assets for cash without selling shares, that's actually been touted in the Australian Business News and in the New Zealand Business News, and UBS, an investment firm, has confirmed that they've been approached to put together a package to sell Vector assets. Now, we can't get the trustees to comment on this, so we've put together a petition saying, come on, front up and talk about this. All you're saying is we won't sell shares. Well, what about the assets? Tell us the truth.
Okay. So, great power people are not asleep. They will sign that petition when they know that it's following great power policy and it's in
That's
their
right.
best interest. But what I want to know is, what's your plan for the petition? Are you going to post it on the Grey Power Facebook page, the Auckland Grey Power Facebook page?
We could do that. It is just, like, literally just been released.
Okay.
So, actually, this is the first radio show where it's been announced, to be honest.
Great.
So, emails are just starting to percolate out through our supporters. What I'd like to say, though, is, yes, it's a city vision policy, absolutely, but it's way bigger. In terms of people who oppose privatization, it's a much bigger section of the population. Mm. You don't have to be a hardcore lefty to oppose privatization. This is actually a very commonly held position by actually the majority of New Zealanders.
Well, basically, it's an essential service. Electricity is literally a life and death option for
yes,
people
it is.
Who rely on it for machines to help them breathe and other hospital use and so on. So we wouldn't really want to see that go out of the public good domain.
Correct. And if it does make a profit and that gets returned to us in the form of a dividend, well, that's well and good. But if it gets privatized, it's going to some private investor, possibly somebody offshore.
Mm. Very scary thought. So that will mobilize the troops, no doubt.
Well, it is one of the top issues that people are worried about. People are worried about reliability, which is understandable. Mm. As you said, people rely on electricity, and it's not just creature comforts. It's absolute essentials, particularly in the winter. And privatization is another big issue for a lot of people.
Mm. And as you pointed out, with climate change and increasing weather incidents that disrupt storms and the like, we know these are not decreasing, they're increasing.
Mm-hmm.
This puts reliability right up there.
It does. And to be fair to Vector, they've been doing pretty well in terms of their climate change planning.
Mm-hmm.
And as assets retire that are in vulnerable areas, when they get renewed in a way that's climate change ready.
That's pretty cool.
A lot of these assets are long-lived. You know, these aren't things you buy for 3-5 years and throw away. They're things you buy for 10, 20, 30 years at a time.
Mm. So the dividend really is under threat. That check that people get once a year that they may think they get from their power company, that's from the entrust people, that check is actually under threat right now.
It is under threat. We genuinely believe it's under threat because they won't rule out the two other forms of privatization. Mm. They're kind of weaseling around the words. They're choosing them very carefully to leave the door open. And also, I don't know if you've heard of all the infighting and the stoush that's going on. They've just fired the CEO of Vector, and he came out publicly and said in the paper last month, the reason he's being fired is because there's a plan to sell things off, and he opposed it. And one of the current trustees also opposes it, and he too has been deselected. So there's a lot of discomfort in the house at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So we need all the sleeping giants to awaken. We need people to get savvy and tell their friends and neighbours about this so they're really informed.
Yes, we do. And it is a sleeper because most people just ignore this issue and think, oh, well, the check will just arrive next year. Well, it may well not, particularly if the board gets replaced with people who are ready, willing, and able to sell.
How will you go about protecting this dividend if you're elected?
Well, first and foremost, preventing all three forms of the privatization.
Would you write that into the document that controls the trust? Would you have the power to do that?
Well, you can't really write that into the trust because the trustee does have a clause that allows it to be wound down if there's a majority vote, not a majority, a unanimous vote of the trustees.
Right.
The point is, as long as City Vision has the majority of trust seats, or all of them preferably, that's never going to happen. The deed goes to 2078, and we believe it should stay that way.
Right. It seems a wee way off. But
it seems a long way off, but basically we want to protect that dividend not just for the seniors and the household Aucklanders of today, but for the Aucklanders going forward. There's lots of people, not just seniors, who rely on that dividend to catch up from those horrible winter power bills.
You
get that dividend in September while your power account's been going further and further in arrears over the winter, and boom, you're all caught up.
Yes, and incidentally, if anybody has any queries about that check, if they believe they should have got it and didn't get it, or they've left it lying around at home and haven't remembered to do anything about it. Somebody told me the other day they just found one in a box.
Oh, please deposit
that check.
Because
they've been moving.
Right.
So the check is live for a year. But if it's dead and it's more than a year, you can still ring the entrust number on their website.
Correct.
It's 0508, and I can't remember the rest of it, but I'll give you my email, and you can email me if you need to get it.
Yeah, the trust document is pretty good about that, and to be fair, there's lots of dollars set aside every year, those dollars are set aside for 3 or 4 years to allow people to catch up in arrears.
So people can,
yes,
provided they can provide interesting information like their ICP number of their power account, things like
yes.
that.
A power account with your name on it. A power account with your name on it is what's really needed, a power invoice, yes.
Yes, so that you've got a power invoice and you know where you live and you can ring up and you can tell them all that information. You can get a substitute check or you can make arrangements to have the check paid into your bank, which is often a safer way than having it in your letterbox.
Yes, I recommend everybody. I mean, they do send this out in July. They send out a form and say, can we put this in your bank for you? And I always go, yes, please.
So if you have any further questions, please get in touch. And my email is annmarie.currie@gmail.com. And that's annmarie.currie@gmail.com. Now, I think also that it's a pretty interesting election. There's five of you standing. Is that correct?
Correct. There are five trustees, so we have a full ticket.
Yeah, so you've got Glenda Fryer, who's well known from her local government work, and who's currently the deputy chair of the Albert Eden Board. Who else is in the lineup?
Peter Nielsen, mm-hmm. who you'll know as a former cabinet minister, CEO, he's a trustee for Simplicity, the KiwiSaver provider, and those sorts of things. You've got Robert Reed, who used to head up the First Union, and we've got Simon, who's a barrister and actually a company lawyer.
Simon Mitchell.
Yes. And so we've got a lot of governance experience. Now, my background is in renewable energy. That's what I have my master's in. And I literally wrote a thesis on how to integrate renewables into the grid. And actually, that's where the future is going.
Yes, indeed.
You know, it's happening now. Even though I did that master's a decade ago, the rubber's hitting the road as we speak.
Right. And Grey Power's taken a great interest in electricity in the sector because we have had people who've been with the old electric power boards who've been managers. Mm-hmm. And currently we have a retiring committee member, Chris Van Pelt, who was a manager of a power station in one of his past lives.
That's right.
So we have people in Grey Power who have a real avid interest in the sector. So you're one of our members who's very skilled, and so it's really good for us to see one of our members up there actually standing for the election.
Oh, thanks. And yes, and while I plug City Vision for NTrust, which is our team standing for the trust, why not plug Grey Power Electricity? Now, that's something that you guys have put together before I even got involved with Grey Power, and it's going gangbusters.
Well, it is, and one of the delightful things is in the conversation that's been in the headlines in the paper recently about how prices have risen since the late 1990s, quite dramatically in the electricity sector. Most of that price rise was occurring in the immediate post-sell-off of the assets, where half the assets of these various SOEs, government-controlled and owned electricity entities, half their shares were sold off by the government. In that sell-off period, immediately post the sell-off, that's when the price rises were the highest. Now, what Grey Power Electricity did was we entered this sector, we set up a deal with an electricity company that was prepared to offer a low user rate, mm-hmm. especially for Grey Power members. There was no pressure on Grey Power members to join it. It was simply a deal that was there for Grey Power members as they wanted.
That's right.
And the idea was not just to offer a low user rate, but also to shake up pricing in the sector. Mm-hmm. So pricing became sharper. And since then, Meridian with its tiny mighty account, mm-hmm. And other entities have come in and they've offered a low user rate.
That's right. Well, the low user charge is built into the legislation, but it's not dictated what gets charged. So low user is most of our seniors and people who live alone or in pairs don't use a lot of electricity, so they get a smaller daily lines charge.
Yes.
Now that's actually a competitive space,
and that's one
space where Grey Power Electricity got in and actually forced the rest of the market to pay attention.
Well, even now, most of the big companies charge 33.3 cents a day for a daily charge. Mm-hmm. And Grey Power Electricity is 15 cents a day.
Yep.
So you stand to save about $60 a year.
Yep.
Just on that alone.
Just on the daily charges.
There's also a much bigger difference in the actual rates.
That's right.
So the kilowatt hours getting charged out are at a different level.
Well, as the reports that came out, was it last week or the week before, talking about the electricity system said, a lot of the overcharging that's happening is coming in the form of late fees.
Yeah, penalty payments.
Penalty payments, or where they charge a ridiculously high rate and then so-called discount it for prompt payment.
Yeah.
But of course, there's a lot of households where, you know, you miss that prompt payment and suddenly you're paying a punishing price for power.
Mm.
And that, in my opinion, is a bit of gouging.
Mm.
You know, when it's a 20% penalty for being 5 minutes late with your check, that's punishing.
It sure is, and it's even compounded if you get cut off.
Yes.
Getting reinstated in the system costs megabucks.
And the people who can least afford their power, be they a senior on a fixed income or be they just a low-income household, they're the ones paying the highest prices. Mm. And that's not right. That's just not right.
It's not right. So the energy payments that were coming through from the government, they end at the end of this month.
Yes, they are winter payments.
That's right. So I think that this is about time the dividend check arrives. So it's really important for people to realise that in-trust check does not come from their power company.
Nope.
Doesn't matter which company you're with, you're still going to get the check if your name is on the power bill and if you're in the trust area.
Correct.
So the important thing is to become savvy about these elections.
Yes, and realize and actually check your mailbox, because those voting papers, which will arrive on or about October 11th, they're going to look like any other junk mail envelope, and so many of them end up in the recycle bin because they look like junk mail. Mm-hmm. Open it up, tick the box, and put it in a mailbox. I know most of us are not used to walking to mailboxes anymore. It's kind of gone by the wayside. It's so passé, but that's what we have to do to get these votes in.
And I'm going to ask you, Richard, if you will post a photograph of what they look like onto the Grey Power Facebook page too, just to jog people's memories.
I think legally I can post a picture of the envelope, but not the ballot.
That's right. You can't post the ballot. Yeah.
But you can post the envelope.
Yes.
And of course, yes, I'll be watching out for mine, obviously, quite keenly.
Indeed. And in the meantime, the continuing saga of infighting in the trust itself with the current trustees provides us with a little bit of unique entertainment. So I'm just wondering what comment you would like to make about the trustees that are suing one another in the High Court.
Well, it's all very painful and awkward, and most of this fighting is taking place in the business pages, where most of us will miss it. It hasn't quite spilled over into the ordinary newspaper pages, but you know, it's happening. Basically, I mentioned earlier that one of the trustees, who is also a Vector board member as a trustee, didn't get reselected for the CNR ticket. Why? Because he opposed the sacking of the chair of the board, and probably because he opposes privatization. Well, he's no longer selected, so he's no longer on the CNR team. Part of his, this is my speculation, part of his reaction to that was to sue one of the other trustees in the High Court to say, you've never actually lived in the Auckland Electric Power Board area while you were a trustee. You're not a legal trustee. And, you know, he had private investigators, did all the research, and so it's a bit tawdry. And I have no idea how well his arguments stack up, but obviously they stack up enough that it's proceeded. And mm-hmm. the judge has said, oh, no, this is a matter of public interest. We have to do this. I mean, Vector is a Entrust controls $2.2 billion worth of shares. Mm. And if the trustee is not eligible to be a trustee, well, this casts a whole bunch of doubt on things that the trust has done.
Yes.
So this is one existing trustee suing another existing trustee. We also have yet another trustee, Karen Sherry, publicly stating that she had been bullied by other trustees over the last 24 years. And again, I'm just repeating what I've read in the paper. So this is not my hearsay. This is in the public domain. And and she also called Cairns, the chair of the trust, unprofessional for his press releases talking about the chair of Vector's board, Michael Stiassny, and why they fired him, or uninvited him, basically. They uninvited him to stand again. Mm. And so, obviously, there's trouble in the household.
Big trouble.
Big trouble in the household. And it is a bit messy. Now, obviously, they don't want that spilling out in the public, but I think it's important for the public to know that they can't get on. They're too busy suing each other. They're not actually minding the farm.
And on that note, we say farewell. Thank you very much, Richard.
Kia ora.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6
or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/senior focus, and do note, senior focus is one word.